You're listening to the Weekly Sermon Podcast from Trinity Church Denver. To find out more about Trinity, visit our website, trinitychurchdenver.org.
Our New Testament reading this morning is from 1 Timothy chapter 4, verses 4 and 5. When I conclude our reading, I'm going to declare to you that this is the word of the Lord, and our response together is thanks be to God. 1 Timothy 4, verses 4 and 5. For everything created by God is good, and nothing is to be rejected if it is received with thanksgiving. For it is made holy by the word of God and prayer. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Our Old Testament reading this morning is out of Proverbs chapter 11, verses 1 through 6, and verses 24 to 28. A false balance is an abomination to the Lord, but a just weight is his delight. When pride comes, then comes disgrace, but with the humble is wisdom. The integrity of the upright guides them, but the crookedness of the treacherous destroys them. Riches do not profit in the day of wrath, but righteousness delivers from death. The righteousness of the blameless keeps his way straight, but the wicked falls by his own wickedness. The righteousness of the upright delivers them, but the treacherous are taken captive by their lust. Verse 24. One gives freely, yet grows all the richer. Another withholds what he should give and only suffers want. Whoever brings blessing will be enriched, and one who waters will himself be watered. The people curse him who holds back grain, but a blessing is on the head of him who sells it. Whoever diligently seeks good seeks favor, but evil comes to him who searches for it. Whoever trusts in his riches will fail, but the righteous will flourish like a green leaf. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Let's pray. God, we have seen the depths of your riches and kindness and goodness to us. God, I pray that that our hearts would be filled with gratitude, that our hearts, God, would long to walk in obedience. And God, that you would give us hearts full of generosity. God, may we have your heart for people. May we have eyes to see the riches that you've afforded us. May we see them as gifts to be wielded for your glory and for the good of people. God, I pray that you would shape us this morning through the truth of your word and by the power of your spirit. Thanks for this time, in Jesus' name, amen. So this morning's sermon is titled, The Wisdom of God and Wealth. And I'm curious, what comes to mind, what comes to your mind when you think of wealth, when you hear the word wealth? Is it Jeff Bezos? Is it, a comfortable retirement, a golden parachute? Is it a fat man trying to lead a camel through the eye of a needle? Is it something other than that? Something more than that? What's interesting, and what we're going to spend some time on this morning is looking at God's word and what it tells us about wealth, because it's not the stereotypical ideas of wealth. I'd love to share a little bit about a man that I knew who epitomized wealth. So he was the academic dean of a Bible college that Brady and I went to. And this man, he passed away a few months ago, and we were at his funeral service with hundreds of people. And in front of these hundreds of people, there was friend after friend, daughter, family members who stood and testified to the wealth of this man. I have no idea how much money he had or how much money he left to his family, and it was absolute, whatever that was irrelevant. Like his wealth, for sure, like God took very good care of him and his family. But his wealth, as it was testified to in front of these hundreds of people, was found in his legacy It was found in a wife that God had given him of over 50 years to love and cherish, in kids who he raised to love and honor and obey Jesus, who had kids who love and honor Jesus. He walked faithfully, obediently, and recognized the great benefit of doing so, and has left a legacy for his children, his grandchildren, and his grandchildren's children, his great-grandchildren, whatever. Lots of generations. And us, Brady and I, among that legacy of people whose lives he directly impacted. And when I think of Russ Fraze Jr., that legacy is one of rich wealth. And it wasn't just money. It was all of those people, the relationships, the legacy that God had given him. So we're going to spend some time in primarily in Proverbs, looking at what does God have to say about wealth. And interestingly, what God has to say about wealth aligns pretty well with what God has to say about the rest of life. There is a clear and compelling call to pursue joyful obedience. So wealth begins with pursuing joyful obedience, which is the necessity and substance of righteousness. We heard several times in our Old Testament reading this text from Proverbs about what righteousness does. Righteousness delivers, right? Righteousness is a function of obedience. It is not a function of how we earn our way into heaven. But there are rewards. There are very real and functional, tangible benefits to walking in righteousness. And there's righteousness we have to think of in two ways. We'll spend some more time on this, but we have to understand righteousness in its form of obedience. Us reading God's word and faithfully and joyfully applying that word, the truth of that to our lives, walking in obedience. And it's the righteousness, the perfect righteousness of Jesus imputed to us. That's righteousness. That's what we are to pursue. Secondly, we receive the gifts of God with thanksgiving and prayer. So what God has to say about wealth is that it begins with it. One of the critical components of it is joyful obedience. The next critical component of it is thankfulness and prayer. This is the substance. This is the necessity and substance of humility. This is a consciousness, an awareness of God as both the giver and the one to whom our gifts should be given. Ecclesiastes 5, Solomon says, "Everyone also to whom God has given wealth and possessions and power to enjoy them and to accept his lot and rejoice in his toil, this is a gift of God." You all know the story. Hopefully you know some of Solomon's story. If you don't, Solomon had all the things. He had wealth unimaginable. And what did he find in it? He found a lack of satisfaction. He did not find fulfillment in the accumulation of those things, in the building of wealth, until the point where he recognized that all of these things are a gift from God. They're gifts to be enjoyed, for sure, and they're gifts to be shared. This point of humility is exactly this. You cannot, I want you to hear this clearly, you cannot earn anything apart from God. You cannot earn your salvation. I hope that's a message that you hear regularly from this pulpit. You cannot earn your salvation by the things that you do. Nor can you earn great wealth on your own apart from God. You see, your ability to work at all is a gift from God. The results of your labor are a gift from God. They're his kindness to you, and they are intended to be used for a purpose. This is the other thing that God's word tells us about wealth. That we are to use the gifts that he's given us generously to bless others. This generosity is the necessity and substance of joy and rightly ordered loves. So what you love, right, where your heart is, there your treasure will be. There's a clear and compelling connection between the things that you love, the people that you love, what you value most, what you hold dear, are the things that you invest in of your time, your talents, and your treasure. So wealth is a blessing by which, by God's grace, is born out of obedience and generosity. And yet, it is not the prosperity gospel that has plagued some corners of American evangelicalism. Someone says to you, God only wants you to be rich. There's fallacy in that. I hope you hear that. God only wants you to be a millionaire. There's fallacy in that. God only wants you to always and only ever be healthy. We live in broken bodies. We live in a world that God has ordered. And he's ordered it in such a way that we are to depend on him. We are not to depend on our own strength or our bank accounts. In fact, he ordains. They are, in fact, gifts. The challenges, the trials that we face are gifts from his hand. And they are intended for his glory. So wealth is a blessing born out of obedience and generosity. It's not the prosperity gospel. And we see in Scripture that there are temptations that attend wealth, right? This is often in the church, one of the things we first think of are the temptations that we are warned against in Scripture, the ways that it is very easy to sin with wealth. So let's talk about a few of these, four maybe to be exact. The world is going to tell us and tempt us to find our identity and security in wealth. We're tempted to find our identity and security in wealth by idolizing comfort, by idolizing security, pleasure, status. Like these are the things that the world is selling us. The world is telling us that we should find comfort, security, pleasure, status, power, all of those things in wealth, and that we should accumulate it as much as we can and hoard it. What God is telling us is to find your identity in him and him alone, and that the things that he gives, the people that he brings, the wealth that he intends for you to have is for blessing others. It's for the purpose of generosity. It's for the purpose of shared joy in community, as well as provision. Wealth comes from the hand of God, not that you find your identity in it, or your security in it, but that it be wielded for his glory and for the good of people. The world is going to tell us this, another temptation and a lie that we will hear is that we are to hoard it, to gain and collect and hold as much as we possibly can. There attends with that a paranoia of someone's going to take from me. I'm going to lose this thing. I'm going to lose my money or my possessions. Someone's going to scratch my truck. Someone could scratch my truck, and it's okay. Right, boys? I don't want you to go scratch my truck. We have this paranoia of what happens to the things that we have because that mentality is to hoard, to protect, to gather, to collect, and not disperse. There's a holding and not a giving. And God's wisdom tells us here that wealth should be mobilized. There should be in it a bias toward action. Money in particular should be circulated for God's glory and for the good of people. It is a gift. It is a blessing intended to be used to bless others. The third one, we're going to be told, and some of us may have believed, that wealth is a means to honor one's self. People who have lots of money, if you have lots and lots of money, you have fame, right? You have honor. You have regard from people who know nothing about your character, but who know your net worth, for example. And there is an identity in that. And God, what does God tell us? God tells us that our wealth is given as a gift to honor him. This is akin to, like, God's giving us good gifts. He's giving us wealth in order to give to others to honor him. This is not that dissimilar from perhaps this hypothetically a son asking his dad for like maybe $50 to go buy his dad a Father's Day gift sometime soon, maybe. But it's just a hypothetical example. It's a giving of a gift to return a gift, not to just honor yourself with. Another lie, another temptation that it's easy to fall prey to is that wealth can and should be gained quickly. Well, this is not what God has laid out for us in Scripture. This is not the approach that God has shown us throughout his word and throughout church history. What he's shown us is that wealth is built over time. It's built over not just time, but generations of faithful obedience. It's built over generations of one family building and giving to their kids, not just money, though money is included, but building a generation's approach, a legacy approach to what does it look like to honor and love and serve Jesus. Okay, so we've established, I hope, a little bit here that wealth is a blessing and it's for blessing. So wealth is not inherently evil or bad. In fact, it is a good gift of God. And we should use it wisely. But then how do we build it? Right? There is a right way and there are many wrong ways. So let me share with you six ways to build wealth in ways that honor Jesus. One is to work diligently. From the text we read, I'm sorry, not from the text that we read, from Proverbs 10, chapter 4 and 5, it says, "A slack hand causes poverty, but the hand of the diligent makes rich. He who gathers in summer is a prudent son, but he who sleeps in harvest is a son who brings shame." A slack hand causes poverty. One who does not work does not eat. This is a biblical principle. One who gathers in summer, talk a lot about farming in the Bible. I know a thing or two about farming. I grew up on a farm in Northeast Colorado. It is a noble calling, not mine. But how scripture uses these agrarian principles is you have to have foresight. There is labor required. Your effort, your work is required. Diligence is required in order to provide. And it's not just working hard. Lots of people can work hard. I can work real hard busting out my driveway with a 10-pound sledgehammer. That's working real hard. Is it working well? Probably not. Work hard and work well. Whatever it is God has given you, whatever field God has given you to plow, work hard at it. Plow it well. Go to bed tired and a good tired, not defeated, but go to bed tired. God has given us rest for work, not work for rest. Do not idolize rest. Let me say it again. God has given us rest for work, not work for rest. You're not to idolize rest. Work diligently. Number two, work the long game. Work the long game. This is a hallmark of what we see throughout church history, why I'm talking to you about wealth being built over generations, why we talk to you about covenant, why we talk to you about things being built over time, because we believe that God is working over a long, long period of time. He's renewing and restoring his creation. That redemptive work is not an overnight work. It is gained, it is worked on over time. Our work ought to reflect that. Quickly gained riches are often gained unrighteously and are easily lost. You could think of, I don't know, GameStop, AMC, if the stocks are a thing that you pay attention to. Recent story of quickly gained very, very quickly lost. You can think of Ponzi schemes, Bernie Madoff. You guys remember that name? Bernie Madoff, the largest Ponzi scheme in history, $20 billion over like 30 plus years or something. Lost very, very quickly. And he died in prison. The namesake of a Ponzi scheme, Ponzi himself. I don't know if you've looked into this. I got a little bored and looked it up. Ponzi, back in 1920, pilfered like $15 million in 8 months. In today's, just because that doesn't sound like a lot, maybe. It sounded like a lot to me, but in today's dollars, that's over $200 million that he pilfered from people in 8 months, and he lost it like that. He and Bernie both went to prison and died in prison. Quickly gained wealth is not what God is calling us to. Does he bless people richly with monetary funds in quick order sometimes? Absolutely. Should that be our objective? No. A family that we know, like some four generations ago, moved to a small town and began living their lives faithfully in that town. They worked hard, they worked diligently, they worked well. They had kids, they raised those kids to know and love and be obedient to Jesus. Those kids grew up to work well, work hard, work diligently, who had kids whom they raised to know and love and walk obediently with Jesus, one generation after the other. And each successive generation starts from a stronger point than the one before it. This kind of generation building is the work that God calls us to. Do not underestimate the value of a long life well lived in one place doing the same good work across generations in the same community. Many of you have moved to Colorado or moved to Denver from someplace else, and you've fallen in love with it, and as well you should. It's beautiful. And know that there is deep, deep value in sinking your roots into a community to work hard, work diligently, work well in that place, and see the benefits of that for generations to come. Number three, to work humbly. Work with humility. This, friends, is something that you should see all around you, where the world is telling us that humility is not a virtue to be regarded. Proverbs is replete, full of the call to humility for Christians, which means you must go to war with entitlement, with envy, with the notion that you deserve more than you have, with the notion that you deserve more comfort or more things than you have, than God has seen fit to provide to you. Wealth is a gift from God to the righteous, but your righteousness, your ingenuity, or sheer act of will is not what gains you wealth. You have no reason to be prideful. If you've built a company that's worth millions or $1 billion, that's fantastic. Wield it for God's glory. And oh, by the way, even in your diligence, even in your ingenuity, it's not yours. You didn't build it. You could not have built it apart from God. You can't breathe apart from God. Nothing you have, nothing you hold in your hand, nothing you can do can be done apart from God, can be gained apart from Him. It belongs to Him. It should be wielded for His glory and for the good of people. You have no reason to be proud. Hear this. You ought to thank God regularly for the resources you have, for the people you have. If you have a spouse, if you have kids, if you have a community, I don't know, like a church who knows, who teaches you, who points you to Jesus. You have friends, you have family, you have a work community. God has afforded you all of these things. Those are wealth, all of that is the wealth that God has given you and is intended to be used for His glory. Brian pointed this out a couple of weeks ago in a fairly good sermon about biblical justice, that humility means joyfully accepting the reality that God has intended disparate outcomes. God has intended disparate outcomes. He gives to you something he may not give to someone else. He gives to someone else something he may not give to you, and it's good. You should accept gladly and joyfully, thankfully with prayer, what God has given you. Humility means we must work to kill envy in our own hearts. Looking around, seeing what others have, and being dissatisfied with what God has given us. Being ungrateful. Work humbly. Number four is work covenantally. You're going to hear from us here at Trinity pretty regularly as well, that we believe that God has pulled together in his church a covenant community. There are promises that surround who we are as a church and as God's people. Proverbs 13:22 says, a good man leaves an inheritance to his children's children, but the sinner's wealth is laid up for the righteous. There is a design here that God has built that we give to our children. We afford them things that they would not otherwise have. My kids, they're good, right? They have things that I did not have, and that's with great intent. If you are in this room and you have parents or you have grandparents who lived faithfully, who worked hard, who worked diligently, who accumulated some mass of finances, of financial ability that they handed off to you as their kids, be thankful for that. Don't be ashamed of it. Accept it with glad joy and gratitude. And if that's not you, accept with glad joy what God has given you and think about what God is doing through your life. It's not for just your benefit or provision as yourself or your immediate family. It's for your children, your children's children, and their children. Number five, work generously. Proverbs, this is from our text, Proverbs 11, verses 10 and 11, and then 26 reads this, when it goes well with the righteous, the city rejoices. And when the wicked perish, there are shouts of gladness. By the blessing of the upright, a city is exalted, but by the mouth of the wicked, it is overthrown. Verse 26, the people curse him who holds back grain, but a blessing is on the head of him who sells it. You should hear in this like a micro economics lesson, right? To work generously, blessing with the wealth that God has given you doesn't necessarily always mean you're giving things away. This scripture doesn't say, but a blessing is on the head of him who gives away all the grain he has. There's a generosity in your work. The antithesis to this would be the first part of this verse. The people curse him who holds back grain. He's hoarding what God has given him and not using it, leveraging it, being generous in his work. So sometimes it absolutely means giving, right? Giving away. And it means in your work that you conduct business with integrity, valuing relationships, not just dollars. What if you run a business, if you started a business, if you run a business, if you have a role in any business and your contribution to that is just to the dollars, you need to rethink how you're going about that work, how you're going about that business, why God's giving you that business to contribute to or to run or to own in the first place. God has given it to you to be a blessing to others. So if you own a business, there's a great business that I know that I'm very familiar with, and I have seen the fruit of that business, not just chasing dollars, but chasing people and dollars. Let me be really clear. You can't continue to run a business if you don't make some dollars. You should care about making dollars, okay? And you should care about how that business, how those dollars are wielded for the good of people and for God's glory. Justin, thank you for what you do, by the way. Above all else, this is number six, above all else, pursue righteousness. If you don't hear anything else, hear this. Obedience to God's law as a function of righteousness, and what I mentioned earlier, the imputed righteousness given to us in Jesus by the work on the cross, which is the basis for all of our obedience. You should work to pursue righteousness. The most pernicious lie, Proverbs 11:4. Riches do not profit in the day of wrath, but righteousness delivers from death. That was one of the verses we read in our text today. The most pernicious lie in our day is that wealth will save us. It can save us from despair. It can save us from discomfort. All of the lies, all of the idols that we are prone to, that somehow wealth or money or riches can save us from those things. Church, only righteousness is the grounds of our salvation, not our own righteousness. The righteousness we've received as a free gift of God. In closing, let me, if I haven't been clear enough, let me remind you, let me tell you again and again, that wealth is a gift. In gratitude to God for his mercy and on the basis of all of his promises, including his promises given to our children on behalf of a world being made new, work diligently. Gather all the wealth, all the different types of wealth that God freely gives, and wield it generously for God's glory. Let's pray. God, I pray that you would give us eyes to see the wealth that you have afforded us. God, give us the heart, give us the will and the power to walk obediently, to walk in righteousness, to walk not in earning whatever we can earn for our own sake. But God, give us wealth to be used, to be wielded for your glory and the good of people. God, help us to go from this place to see the things that you've given us, to accept them with gladness, with joy, with gratitude, and in prayer, and to live generously with those things, God. To live generously with the financial resources, to live generously with the people that you've afforded us, God, that you've brought around us, that you've brought into our lives. God, may all of it be for your glory. Pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.